All right.
Is it going?
It's going. We're rolling.
Okay.
Wikipedia is the best thing ever. Anyone in the world can write anything they want about any subject. So you know you are getting the best possible information.
Today, we are going to talk about celebrities, people of renown, who have died, quote unquote.
Or have they?
Today, I wanted to start with the king himself, Elvis Presley. It's a well-known fact that a lot of people believe that Elvis Presley is still alive.
I'd alter that to say it's a well-known fact that Elvis Presley is still alive. Just eliminate the middleman.
That's more streamlined. I like that.
Yes.
Like the way you think. I amend my first statement. It's a well-known fact among many that Elvis is still alive out there wearing his white jumpsuit with the flappy arms.
I don't think that would be the best. If you're going to try and convince people that you're not Elvis, I don't think you should pick most identifiable.
But wouldn't it be fascinating if it turned out that after all this time, Elvis has just been playing an Elvis impersonator?
Like that time Charlie Chaplin lost a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest? You know that story?
I don't know that story.
That's the whole story.
He showed up and they said, nah, you don't make the cut.
It is so well known and accepted of a fact that Elvis is still alive that when I told my father, who got a graduate degree in engineering and then became a doctor, this very smart man emailed me a link and said, I think you should investigate this on your show. And it was a link that, well, I don't want to steal your thunder, but a link that sent me to like a Guardian article or something that was a picture of this old man on like the gardener at Graceland.
Yeah.
Walking around, just looked like your standard old man. And people think that it is Elvis. And I think the only thing that would be more obvious than being Elvis while wearing your like your Viva Las Vegas style getup is to just continue living at Graceland. My dad thinks it, so.
And if Dr. Geyer says so,
then it is. Sometimes.
All statements made on WikiFreaks are Dr. Geyer approved.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Except for every time I curse, he will never be allowed to listen to this show. It's the truth.
You've just been running your mouth this whole time, cursing left and right.
I like a sailor.
Okay, so I took it upon myself to do some investigation in the depths of Wikipedia and all of its beauty.
All of the research that you're about to hear read was done in approximately, I would say, 90 seconds tops.
Yes, we are very efficient here in the WikiFreaks studio.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the story, I imagine, or maybe they don't, of Elvis's death. So I'm going to just refresh our memories so those of you who don't know the story can
know it,
learn and grow. In 1977, Elvis fell ill. He experienced accelerating deterioration in his health. But despite this, he stuck to most of his touring commitments. That's the first thing that's suspicious. He says he's unhealthy, but there he is singing, telling everybody that they ain't nothing but a hound dog. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. I don't know, Elvis, if
he's a brave
I believe
man.
You.
Oh, I just thought of something, too. My dad, who I referred to earlier as
yes.
knowing about this conspiracy theory, was supposed to, he had a ticket to see Elvis, but Elvis died the week before.
That is heart-wrenching.
It's all coming together. My dad is Elvis. Elvis Dr. Geyer Presley.
If your father were Elvis.
Honestly, what would I do if my dad turned out to be Elvis?
So in this largely unverified conclusion that we've come to after looking at half of a Wikipedia sentence, it has been determined that James D. Geyer
Elvis
is none other than Elvis
Aaron Presley.
Elvis Aaron Presley himself. Anyway, back to the story. He was falling ill, health deteriorating, still singing, still living it up in his, as Sydney so winningly called it, Viva Las Vegas getup. That was good. I like that.
Las Vegas may live on, but Elvis also lives on, as you will tell us.
Indeed. On August 1st, 15 days before Elvis passed away, a book entitled Elvis, What Happened? Co-written by three bodyguards that he had fired the previous year was published. And it was the first expose to detail Presley's years of drug misuse. After the book was published, Elvis was devastated, tried unsuccessfully to halt its release. And at this point, he was suffering from multiple ailments, which you never want to hear multiple ailments put together in the same sentence. Let me detail some of these ailments for the listener.
It's me. I'm the listener.
For the listener, Sydney Geyer and Dr. Geyer.
Sydney Geyer Presley.
Glaucoma, high blood pressure, liver damage, and an enlarged colon were each aggravated and possibly caused by drug abuse. He clearly was dealing with a lot of things. And I imagine that the publication of the book did not exactly help ease the pain that was going on inside. He was scheduled to fly out of Memphis, Tennessee, for the international listener, on the evening of August 16th, 1977, to begin yet another tour. But that afternoon, Ginger Alden discovered him unresponsive on his bathroom floor. Attempts to revive him failed, and his death was officially pronounced at 3:30 p.m. I would like to point out that Elvis's death was so impactful to the American public that President Jimmy Carter issued a statement on his passing saying that Presley permanently changed the face of American popular culture, which is true because Elvis's face is American popular culture in so many ways.
Still on stamps. And also, Graceland is, I've been there. I live there. My dad lives there. And it's like one of the most visited places in America.
Also, I've never been.
Also,
is it in Nashville?
No, it's in Memphis.
Oh,
right?
That makes a lot of
it's
sense.
It's in Memphis.
Justin Timberlake is from Memphis. Should I look up Justin Timberlake's family tree?
No, I don't want to go back to timberlakefamily.biz.edu/UK.
So here's where it gets a little tricky for those of us who believe, nay, affirm, nay, are convinced that Elvis still lives and breathes and shakes his But
Hey, regrets. Have some respect. He was at least pretending to be dead for like 30 years.
He was. Apparently, thousands of people gathered outside of Graceland to view his open casket.
No, thank you.
One of Elvis's cousins, Billy Mann, accepted $18,000 to photograph the corpse.
I start
to wonder, perhaps Elvis himself paid Billy Mann the $18,000.
Rachel, that's such a good theory.
But it makes sense, doesn't it? That Elvis would want, for sure,
his
picture to be out there, so there would be no question in anyone's mind.
How much would you... Okay, I got two questions. How much would you accept to photograph Elvis's body, and how much would you pay to see that picture? Or, third question, how much would you pay to see the real body?
Like, as it is at this moment,
living
40
and breathing.
Years later or whatever.
I'd say I would take a picture for $100. I would pay like $4 or $5 for to see the real thing, but I would not pay any money to see a picture.
That's fair, because the picture was on the cover of magazines that you could probably buy for like $2 at that time.
But inflation.
That's why I said at that time. Accounting for inflation. Thanks. I was imagining that we were back in 1977. Which maybe you were there, daughter of Elvis.
Okay, I don't actually... No, I'm my age, but my dad is however old Elvis would... How old would Elvis be? He'd be in his 60s, I bet.
No. Oh, maybe. I guess maybe if he died at 20.
He didn't die at 20. He was old.
He died at 42. And it was 40 years ago, so he'd be 82.
82? Dang. I'm currently looking at the picture of the gardener who they think is Elvis. And the theory would have more credence if the theory were like, is this man Santa Claus? But
is it? Would it have more credence?
Yes.
Do you believe in Santa more than you believe that Elvis still lives? Sydney, has anyone ever told you that if you scrambled the letters Elvis, it spells
Santa
lives?
Rachel. What if you scramble what if you scramble Presley? It spells Yeplers.
Serples. I lost the Y.
Please pry.
Pray less. Elvis's funeral was a wild time because it took place 2 days after his passing. And as you can imagine, emotions across the nation were
running
tumultuous.
High.
And so outside of the gates of Graceland at the funeral, a car plowed into a group of fans.
Oh my gosh.
Killing two women.
Oh my goodness. That's
and critically
so
injuring a third. Approximately 80,000 people lined the processional route to Forest Hill Cemetery, where Presley was buried next to his mother, your grandmother. Within a few days, Way Down, which
is that a name
is
or
a song, one of Presley's songs, I imagine.
I've
never heard it.
I thought you were saying Wade
Down? No, like Way, W-A-Y,
down
like Way Down in
grave.
Georgia.
Go on.
In late August, there was an attempt to steal his body, and at that point, the remains
of... Okay, how much would you pay for Elvis's body?
I honestly wouldn't pay that much.
No, what are you going to do with it?
Like, what would you do with it? I guess you could bury it in your backyard and then charge people to come pay their respects.
Oh, that's smart.
Which sounds horrible.
This is like a pyramid scheme, but...
God bless capitalism. That's what I always say.
I've got that tattooed on my lower back. It's right under the tribal chain.
I learn more about you every day.
This is truly a miraculous journey that we're on together.
An enigma. Then the next section of the Wikipedia article is questions over cause of death. Drug use was heavily implicated, and no one ruled out the possibility of anaphylactic shock brought on by the codeine pills, to which he was known to have had a mild allergy. It's a bummer that a mild allergy could kill.
Yeah, I have a mild allergy to nickel. When I was little, it's on the back of jean buttons, and so my mom would paint it with nail polish.
Wow. Mrs. Presley is so thoughtful.
She was my dad's smartest wife. I don't know how many wives he had, but it was more than one.
Would you like to know a similarity that Elvis and the Grinch had to bring
they
it back to
Christmas?
They both stole
Christmas. They're both green.
I mean, if Elvis had a concert on Christmas, he probably would steal Christmas
spiders,
Day
There are spiders
himself.
In their soul. I'd rather touch an alligator.
With a 10-foot long pole. Could you sing it for us in an appropriately deep voice?
No, I'll leave that to my dad. He's the professional.
He ain't another murder hound dog. I probably shouldn't do that.
No, that's disrespectful.
But he's still alive, so he's enjoying the fact that I'm saying he's listening right now.
It's truly, I'm sure, an honor, but an offensive kind of honor.
So this is the similarity that the Grinch and Elvis had in common. They are not both green, although if one were to believe that Elvis were dead, he probably went through a stage of being green at some point. I imagine that's part of the decaying
gross.
Process. Just let that mental image sit. They don't have spiders in their souls. But what they did both have were enlarged hearts.
Oh, Rachel.
With the Grinch, it was a cause for Christmas joy. With Elvis, it may have been the cause of his death. Michael Baden, who is a forensic historian and a pathologist, said that Elvis was difficult to diagnose. It was a judgment call. Elvis is just an enigmatic fellow. There's just a lot of questioning over how Elvis died and a lot of questioning over whether...
Let us move right along to another celebrity. This is kind of the opposite of the assignment that you tasked me with. This is a conspiracy that, all joking aside, in the seventh grade, I really believed for like 3 weeks. I did a lot of research on it, and I felt very confident that Paul McCartney is really dead. The Wikipedia page for Paul_is_dead, I'll just read you the intro. Paul is Dead is an urban legend and conspiracy theory alleging that Paul McCartney of the English rock band The Beatles died in 1966 and was secretly replaced by a lookalike. In September of 1969, American college students, like you and I, Rach.
Oh, that's us.
It is us. Published.
But not for long.
Are you going to change your citizenship? You're Canadian, right? You already have dual citizenship.
Well, I was mostly talking about how you're going to graduate soon.
I don't want to talk about it.
But I also have dual citizenship. Canada.
Oh, green card marriage. So we can both do that.
Yeah, I've been offering my services to my friends. And by services, I mean I've been proposing to a lot of people recently.
I haven't gotten a single one.
Sydney?
No, not here. Not here.
Sydney.
I want to wait till we're in a hot air balloon together.
I've been waiting till we've had all our listeners around the mic.
All of our best
around the
friends
stereo.
And family, except my dad. So, in September of 1969, American college students published articles claiming that clues to Paul McCartney's supposed death could be found among the lyrics and artwork of the Beatles' recordings. Clue hunting proved infectious, and do you think that's what killed Elvis?
Was he a sleuth?
I told you we were going to solve it.
How could he be a sleuth if he's wearing his Viva Las Vegas?
The sleuths come in all shapes, sizes, and materials.
Do you think it was polyester?
Oh, yeah. Faux show. The clue hunting proved infectious, and within a few weeks had become an international phenomenon. Rumors declined.
Sort of like geocaching or something?
Yeah, like you're going to go into the woods looking for
Paul McCartney's dead body. Okay, I have a question.
I got an answer for you.
How were these sleuths, amateur sleuths, I imagine, expecting to identify Paul McCartney's body, especially if it were at any rate of decay, at any point of decay?
What are you talking about? Like, they're not looking
to find
his body. Like,
what's the strategy?
No, the sleuths just think that, let me read on. Maybe this will answer your question.
Maybe I wasn't listening carefully
enough. I don't know.
Enough.
That's why you gotta listen. I know you're distracted by my beauty, but our listeners aren't, because we don't have any listeners. Okay, these were the beginnings of the thing. A rumor circulated in London that I'm not going to do an accent for this. The last time it wasn't comedically successful.
I laughed.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm your listener, remember?
Oh, that's true. A rumor circulated in London that Paul McCartney had been... I'm already losing it. Had been killed in a car crash after a January... It's January right now. Rachel, this is exactly 50 years old. After a January 1967 traffic accident. And is it 3:30? No, 3:38. We missed that one, but that's okay. It's currently 2017. Happy anniversary.
Paul's death.
Oh, man. After a January 1967 traffic accident involving his Aston Martin, the rumor was acknowledged and rebutted in the February issue of the Beatles book fanzine, which is a word I did not know existed. But it is not known whether the rumor of 1969 is related to it.
Wait, so the fans rebutted the rumor?
Yes. I'm sure they did their actual research and saw that it was not real.
Like us. Except our actual research leads us to believe that Elvis is alive and Paul McCartney's dead.
It's not so much that I believe, it's more that I know. In October of 1969, the Beatles had just released their Abbey Road album and were in the process of disbanding. McCartney's public engagements were few, and he was spending time at his Scottish retreat with his new wife, Linda, to contemplate his forthcoming solo career.
Linda was a pretty great gal. She took a lot of great photos.
Oh, that's excellent.
She's all about animal rights. We love Linda.
Linda and I have that in common. On the 17th of September, 1969, Tim Harper, an editor at the student newspaper of Drake University in Iowa, let's take a moment to acknowledge the fact that this is where all of these rumors are coming from. I could publish absolutely anything in Cab Daily, and maybe I'll have a Wikipedia page one day.
A girl can dream.
I am dreaming. They published an article he published an article entitled, "Is Beatle Paul McCartney Dead?" as if to suggest that there is another Paul McCartney that would be notable enough to theorize about his death. The article described a rumor that had been circulating on campus that Paul was dead. At that point, the rumor included numerous clues from recent Beatles albums.
This strikes me because why is Iowa the locus of this?
It's a hotbed for European pop conspiracy.
It's like they're used to seeing Paul McCartney just walking around campus, and suddenly
Elvis
they're like,
"Elvis is next door in
Where
Michigan.
Did Paul go?"
Paul's dead. At that point, the rumor included numerous clues from recent Beatles album, including the "Turn Me On, Dead Man" message that some people hear when Revolution 9 from the White Album is played backwards. I'm afraid to listen to albums backwards. That's absolutely not a joke. When I was in the 7th grade and was first learning about this, I also learned about the thing where if you play that Pink Floyd album backwards...
Mm-hmm. Is it Dark Side of the Moon, I think?
I think you're right. The Wizard of Oz. I thought it was gonna do some stuff to me, and so I listened to it for about 20 seconds, and then I got really freaked out and stopped. In Wire reports published as early as the 11th of October, Beatles press officer Derek Taylor, if you unscramble those letters, it spells Elvis is living, which he actually was at this time for sure.
So maybe he died and then came to life in 1977.
Maybe this is like a Benjamin Button type scenario.
Oh, probably.
He responded to the rumor saying, "Recently, we've been getting a flood of inquiries about reports that Paul's dead. We've been getting questions like that for years, of course, but in the past few weeks, we've been getting them at the office and the home night and day. I'm even getting telecalls from disc jockeys and others in the United States." He said the word telephone, but I altered it for the sake of authenticity.
Yes, accuracy.
I'm trying to be really culturally sensitive this time. Various clues were used to suggest the following story. 3 years previously, on the 9th of November, 1966, McCartney had an argument during a Beatles recording session. That's how one of us is going to die. I'm going to get you.
Oh, no. This is a very small booth, my friends.
I know it. And he had angrily driven off in his car. He had crashed it and died as a result. To spare the public from the grief, which is very thoughtful, the Beatles replaced him with William Campbell, the winner of a McCartney lookalike, with Charlie Chaplin, the winner of a McCartney lookalike contest. Okay, so here are some clues.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
If the Beatles were going to go to that length...
Honestly, I thought for
if the Beatles went
seconds.
To the moon, that would be the coolest concert of all time.
Does sound travel in space?
Is gravity required for sound waves?
No.
I don't think so.
No, but this is for the episode where we uncover that we did not go to the moon
or ever go to a science class.
No,
never.
Just kidding. I was pre-med for 2 years.
Neuroscience. But here's the thing: the Beatles went to no lengths at all to spare the public from the heartbreak of them breaking up.
Well, it's different. Like, Paul could console you about the breakup, or William Campbell, or Charlie Chaplin could, except Charlie Chaplin was a silent, he didn't talk, so he could mime it out.
That would be interesting to hear what Hey Jude would be like mimed.
It would sound like this. Do you get it?
Top 40, easily.
The Sound of Silence, which is, no, that's not a Beatles song.
It's a Simon and Garfunkel song.
Mm, is Paul, but it's Paul Simon.
Yes. Paul Simon is Paul McCartney.
I knew we'd crack the case.
We cracked it like an egg again. Should I sing that every time we crack a case?
You'll never stop singing it.
I know. I've been, since this new year, I've been much more likely to burst into song.
Same, because life is beautiful and I gotta sing it out. So here are the clues that make me think that Paul's dead and that made everybody else think it and know it. Hundreds of supposed clues to McCartney's death have been reported by fans and followers of the legend. I like how those are separated. Like, there are some fans and some people who are disinterested in the Beatles, but
they
still
follow it dispassionately.
Yeah, I got the Google alert up. These include messages perceived when listening to a song being played backwards and symbolic interpretations of both lyrics and album cover imagery. I'm sure you've heard of all of these. Number one, the words "I buried Paul" are spoken by McCartney's bandmate John Lennon in the final section of the song Strawberry Fields Forever.
Maybe he's been trying to say "I married Paul" and we've been hearing him wrong this whole time.
What he actually said that he said, which this is a very unconvincing thing, the words are cranberry sauce.
Maybe he was like, strawberry fields forward, cranberry sauce backward.
I buried Paul, cranberry sauce. Does that sound like I spoke
backwards?
I buried Paul, cranberry sauce. Another interpretation of the Abbey Road album cover, it symbolizes a funeral procession where Lennon, dressed in white, symbolizes the heavenly figure. Wouldn't Paul be the one that is in white then? I'll keep reading.
I think we found the hole. We found the hole in the conspiracy.
No, the conspiracy is bug-proof. Ringo Starr, who's my favorite Beatle because, just what you doing, Ringo? I wonder if that's his real name.
His real name's Richard Starkey.
Oh, I love that you had that in your back pocket.
Oh, my back pocket is full of little gems.
Ringo trivia.
Mostly Ringo Starr trivia.
In your jean pockets in the front, you know, it's got that little pocket that holds a single
coins
penny.
Or an earring.
That's your pocket for Ringo trivia. TM, registered trademark. Ringo Starr dressed in black symbolizes the Undertaker. If he were dressed in black, I would intuit that to say that he is
the Grim Reaper.
An attendee. He attended the funeral.
A pallbearer?
Oh,
I just made a pun and I didn't even notice.
The best part was that you didn't know until I screamed right into the microphone.
And also into my ear.
It was so charming on both of our parts. Okay. George Harrison in denim symbolizes the grave dinner.
All right, so before the funeral, we're going to have the grave dinner.
And then we're going to...
And then after the grave dinner, we're going to have the grave digger.
Dig it up.
Dig up the grave. Okay.
Dig in. So I'm going to put Paul in there. Okay. George Harrison in denim. I think that's a stretch. That's the stretchiest of them all.
You know, maybe it's stretchy jeans.
Okay. McCartney is barefoot and out of step with the others, symbolizing the corpse. I don't know how that would symbolize the corpse.
Maybe it was just like they were like, okay, so we're going to take the picture and we're all going to walk like this. Okay,
and Paul was like, no.
And Paul was like, what?
Where are my shoes?
What is happening? And then it happened and it was over and now everybody thinks he's dead. It's a real bummer.
It is a real
I'm still
bummer.
Talking in that accent.
That's one of my favorite accents that you do. You're really good at it.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. I can't do it. In the background of this photo, the car's license plate reads 28IF. Oh, meaning that Paul would have been 28 years old if he had lived. I'm going to read this next little tab because it's going to be fun because it's all I can do some accent. I'm going to read this next part called rebuttal. Say that in the accent, Rachel.
Rebuttal.
Thank you. On,
on. I'm not a dog. I don't just do tricks, okay?
Please.
Okay.
Okay. On the 21st of October, 1969. So we've got a couple years before we need to throw that anniversary party. The
1969?
Beatles, yes, so we've got 2 years. I'd like the theme to be silly hats.
Makes sense, because if the Beatles are known for anything, it's for their silly hats.
For their silly hair.
That's more like it. Hats that look like Beatles hair.
Hair. Hats that grow on your head.
Hair hats.
TM. Registered trademark.
You heard it here first, folks.
If anybody tries to take it, I will sue you 6 ways to Sunday.
Sydney has a very powerful father.
He's very wealthy, but it's a secret.
How do we take it back?
Oh, we can't. It's out in on the airwaves. Okay. On the 21st of October, 1969, the Beatles press office issued statements denying the rumor, deeming it a load of rubbish. A load of rubbish.
A load of rubbish.
There you go. And saying that the story's only been circulating for about 2 years. We get letters of all sorts, from all sorts of nuts, but Paul's still very much with us. Although, did you hear that they didn't say very much with us? And alive. They didn't make that distinction.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's phraseology that people use when they're
trying to
like,
be sneaky.
Not, that wasn't what I was
trying to
say.
Sneak around the truth.
Not
trying
also
to be sly.
You're going in a different direction than I'm going in. Here, can I take you in the direction that I'm going in?
Okay.
All right, just follow me. It'll be safe, I promise. No, but that's the phraseology that people use, like, after someone has passed away.
Oh, he's still alive
They're
in
like,
our hearts.
He's still with us.
He's still alive in our hearts.
Rumors started to decline when, on the 7th of November, 1969, Life published...
Hey, that's my grandma's birthday.
I got it. A lot of secrets to keep, and that's one of them. The other one is that my dad's Elvis.
Her dad is Elvis. If you play that backward, it says, Paul is dead.
Oh, man. Okay. On the 7th of November, 1969, Life published a contemporary interview with Paul McCartney in which he said...
Contemporary. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is really how Paul talks. I've heard it. He said,
perhaps the rumor started because I haven't been much in the press lately.
I'm so uncomfortable.
I love it.
For me.
I've done enough press for a lifetime. And I haven't done anything to say these days. I'm happy to be with my family. And I work when it's actually really starting to hurt. And I will work when I work.
I was switched on for 10 years and I've never switched off. Now I'm switching off whenever I can.
And now Paul is a classy old English lady.
I would rather be a little less famous these days.
So then he became the Queen of England.
This is a multi-step kind of thing that we're uncovering here. And that is why Paul is dead. If you want to see William Campbell on his world tour, I think they're still doing that. But it says...
William Campbell and the Wings?
No, what?
Paul's... Isn't that Paul McCartney's second band? Paul McCartney and the Wings? They did Band on the Run. Band on the Run.
Is that really his song?
Band.
Have you heard the song
Pink Cadillac
by Bruce Springsteen?
Wow. Listeners, did you hear that we had Bruce Springsteen in the studio with us today?
It's me, the boss.
Born in the USA.
Just representing the common man. Don't wear ties.
One pair of Levi's at a time.
This episode brought to you by Levi's and cranberry sauce.
Just generic store brand cranberry sauce.
This episode brought to you by the concept of cranberry sauce.
The platonic ideal of cranberry sauce.
She always said, don't waste your life wishing everything was how it was. Paul is alive.
Back to Elvis.
There's a very, very short Wikipedia article entitled Elvis Sightings.
I read this earlier.
It is two paragraphs. The first paragraph is four lines long, and the second paragraph is one sentence.
That's just a sentence.
I'm just... honoring the indents, okay? Here are a few Elvis sightings. Well, first, the notion that he's in hiding was popularized by the books of Gail Brewer Giorgio.
If you switch those letters around, it spells...
You did it! There was also, apparently, a rash of alleged sightings in Kalamazoo, Michigan in the late 1980s.
Exactly, yes.
And he was also rumored to have appeared in the 1990 film Home Alone, to which Chris Columbus, who is the director of the film,
said no.
Yes, but he said it in more words than that. He said, if Elvis was on the set, I would have known, which bold claim, Chris Columbus.
That's not an outright denial.
Does Chris Columbus assume that Elvis would have introduced himself?
I'm going to look up a picture. Again, this kind of content is not the kind that should be done on a podcast, but I want to see a picture of the person they thought was Elvis.
Please do.
Okay, the man that this looks absolutely nothing like Elvis. Well, hold on.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan?
No, in Home Alone. Oh, no, actually, it does kind of look like Elvis. Actually, it looks more like Paul Giamatti.
Wikipedia does not know whether Gail is a man or a woman. Nope. Gail's a woman. She was the progenitor of some of these rumors.
Good word.
Thank you.
I went
to class for 15 minutes today.
Comes from the Greek progenito, which means Elvis is alive.
That was good. Here, she has a little article on Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, and she has done a lot for conspiracy theory work.
Oh, that's brave.
So she's one of our heroes. Before the death of Elvis Presley, Giorgio wrote a novel which described how a popular Southern singer who called himself Orion faked his own death to escape the pressures of fame.
I've done that multiple times, and let me tell you, it follows you. I've just got an infectious personality, much like...
Hannah Montana?
Yeah. They call me...
Lakota Dakota.
California.
But before she could actually publish the novel about this so-called Orion, her publisher recalled the novel, which then led her, just for no reason, to investigate the circumstances surrounding the death of Presley. So basically, she had this novel.
This book is bad? That's weird. That's not even real. Elvis is alive. That's how I react to bad news all the time. Oh, didn't get a job? Elvis is alive.
Well, I understand why you would, because it's your father and you want to rest in that truth.
I don't have time to work. I just have time to reflect.
No, but this is great because she basically took the plot of the novel that failed and was like, I will apply it to real life. Make it true.
This is a bad book? That's weird. Elvis is alive. This got beat real.
So at the same time, so her publisher recalled the novel. And so she was like, okay, fine. I'll investigate the death of Elvis Presley. And
at the same time. FBI, it's me, Gail. I got a lead. We're dropping a lot of truth bombs today, and it's a lot to take in. I already knew half of them, but you probably didn't.
I didn't, because I didn't. I'm not Elvis's daughter.
No,
I'm just a regular girl.
A regular gal, just trying to make it in this crazy world.
Or am I Paul McCartney's grandniece? There was also an actual singer named Orion who began giving performances wearing a mask at the same time.
Oh, Rachel, I have such a fear of masks.
But the best part about Orion is that he looked similar to Elvis.
With the mask on, was he wearing an Elvis mask?
No. I think he looked similar to Elvis before the mask.
Is that why he put the mask? Was it like a, what kind of mask? You think it's like a Zorro mask?
I hope so.
Or
sounds
do you
kind
think
of
it's
edgy.
Like a
maybe it's one of those like rubber president
Phantom
heads.
Phantom of the Opera mask?
I don't know.
Only this half of my face looks like Elvis. Better cover it.
The other half looks like Paul McCartney.
He just picks and chooses depending on what accent he wants to break out.
But then it turned out that Orion was actually a singer named Jimmy Ellis. And
J-E.
And Young Gale.
Ellis. One letter off from Elvis. It's
if you scramble wild. Ellis.
Or if it's one L, lies. Or double L at the beginning. First L is silent-ish, so it still lies.
Ooh. The lies of the llamas.
We are getting real close to solving this mystery.
So after her investigations, our hero Brewer Giorgio published...
Gaily.
First, she published the book under the title The Most Incredible Elvis Presley Story Ever Told in 1988.
Dude, that is one way to sell some paper.
And then, well, I'm not sure exactly when, but later on, it was determined that that was not exactly the best way to sell some papers.
What?
So they retitled
That's
the book
crazy.
To the shorter, Is Elvis Alive? And it was...
I'd like to interrupt. Which would you be more likely to, or more interested in purchasing at your local Barnes & Noble?
The latter tells me what's going on. Like, it gives it to me straight. And
but
I appreciate that.
But it doesn't give you the same kind of sensationalist enthusiasm that I look for in my literature.
Okay, but think about this with me for a second, Sydney. Is Elvis Alive opens the door
to
all kinds of
sensations.
You're forgetting that you have a leg up because you are Elvis's daughter.
It's true. I'm entitled. I don't know if you know why. It's because I'm Elvis's daughter. Shh. Keep my secret.
As part of the release of her book, Brewer Giorgio appeared on shows such as Larry King Live, Nightline, and The Oprah Winfrey Show. Brewer Giorgio's work actually had some unintended impacts. Fans of Elvis had been calling for a stamp bearing his image, as you referenced earlier.
I know, I remember, because I remember when I got the stamp from my dad. He gave it
he
to
said,
me for Christmas.
He said, honey, it's me. But the rules of the U.S. postage primary require, or maybe it's primary, except we're not in England.
No, you're getting confused because you're of British descent. In Mississippi, they call it the primary.
The primary?
Yeah.
Required a candidate to have been dead for 10 years. Elvis was under consideration in 1988, which, if you'll recall, will be
he
11 years after his
still no years.
Alleged passing.
You got to be rumored dead for at least a decade.
And since Brewer Giorgio was starting all these rumors that he was alive, the fact of his death was in doubt.
I love that.
So the Elvis stamp wasn't published until 1993. This is great. Brewer Giorgio helped write and then appeared in the 1990 documentary entitled The Elvis Files.
Which is
the precursor to
title.
The X-Files.
I was going to say it's the alternate title besides The Gorgeous Hussy. This is my sequel. The third one is Elvis Alive? Yes. That's the title.
Yes.
you gotta introduce some doubt or else nobody's going to watch
She also appeared in the 1992 documentary The Elvis Conspiracy hosted by actor
Steve
Bill
Harvey.
Bixby. I wish it had been hosted by Steve Harvey. That would have been great. And she wrote the script for the documentary American King, The Elvis Files, which featured the tagline, Did Elvis really die when and how they said he did?
It sounds like having, dinner with this woman would have been the most exhausting enterprise in the world. Because it sounds like she's got a singular interest.
She's still alive. No, here's the thing.
You think we can get her on the show?
I'll contact her. I'll let
You know, she's, I told you, she's
no, you
my
should,
friend.
You, yeah. Yeah, you, what am I? I'm from Britain.
Cool it over there with your crumpets.
And my buttered scones.
I'll defer to you on this one.
Her list of published works includes 5 works. Orion, her fictional
novel.
Story that failed.
But it turned out to be the basis of a real, live, true thing.
So she wrote 3 books involving Elvis's death. And then her last book is entitled...
The Three Pigs.
Footprints in the Sand, The Life Story of Mary Stevenson, Author of the Immortal Poem. Author of the Immortal Poem. I have no idea who Mary Stevenson is.
You look back and there's just one set of footprints and you're like, Mary Stevenson, where were you? And then you look up and Elvis has been carrying you the whole time.
She seems to be fixated on immortality and cheating
Gail,
death.
Gail is never gonna die.
Well, she's still alive according to Wikipedia.
An immortal, immortal lady.
And I saw Elvis at Walmart. I'm positive it was the king.
All right, so just one more thing. I just wanted to call to attention a helpful resource to any of our listeners who may be hearing these stories of Paul and of Elvis and resonating deeply with the ups and downs that come with fame.
I want to say, don't be scared. Embrace it.
So Sydney's here to say, don't be scared. Embrace it.
Any of you can be Elvis's daughter. Just kidding. Only I can, and I am. Hey, but it's fun.
Sydney is very entitled.
My title is Elvis's daughter.
I've got it on MD. My business card. Esquire. I would just like to point out that there are 2 handy WikiHow articles for those who may be wondering what it's like. One of them is called How to Handle Fame. And the other one is How to Fake Your Own Death.
So those are the resources if you if this episode has impacted you in such a way that you feel like you need to take further action.
I would like to give you a little teaser for How to Fake Your Own Death. Part 1, disappearing completely. 1, decide whether or not you really want to do this.
I
want to
do it.
Does your situation really warrant a death fake?
Yep.
Can you just move away?
No.
Are you being melodramatic?
No.
Are there any alternatives?
No!
You should only do this if you keep feeling that faking your own death is the only one. The only way to start over or escape, and you have no viable alternatives.
Oh, no. I don't, though. So can you email that to me?
Well.
We did it.
We cracked the case.
Mystery solved.
Cracked it like an egg.
And we put it in the frying pan, fried it up, put it in an avocado, ate it up, and Wiki Freaks.
Brought to you by
The Ruckus and
Teach
in conjunction with WTJ. You?
WXTJ.
WXTJ. Ooh, should we record that?
tune in next week when
you put on your glasses and I say, I thought she was beautiful, but she's just smart.